Welcome back to State of the News. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, the Kentucky General Assembly continues in Frankfort, although lawmakers took, a snow day today, Kenny. And we'll be back on the job on Tuesday. And joining us to talk about it is Kenny Colston, the Frankfort Bureau Chief for Kentucky Public Radio. Is that what happened? They kind of called off business today because of the threat of
It's a legislative snow day today. Unfortunately, we don't get a snow day. I'm a little bit upset about that, I guess. But they decided that some areas obviously are getting a little bit more snow than others. Some of the rural legislators, yeah, you know, obviously it's hard for them to get back home. So they took a day off today, put one in the bank, and that I guess they'll use at the end of the session.
All right, and they will return on Tuesday because we have a holiday on Monday. And that's why you're with us today, because the General Assembly not in session, so you're able to come visit with us in person. Let's start with redistricting. This is not really one of the sexier agenda items, but it's very important to voters across the state. Where do we stand on redrawing the legislative districts this time?
Well, the House has pretty much finished up their portion of redistricting. They have new judicial maps out. They have They passed new House districts for themselves, and they've passed a congressional redistricting plan. So in their mind, they're just waiting to see what the Senate changes. Now, in the past, it's always been common practice that the House draws their lines, the Senate draws their own districts, and they don't mess with each other, and I think that's going to be the case here. But the Senate definitely does not like the congressional map that the House passed out, so there'll probably be a little bit of infighting over that, and they'll have to go to conference committee, and hopefully by the end of next week or the week after, they hope to have redistricting done. The filing deadline is January 31st. They don't really want to push back that deadline, but they may have to. So we're kind of, a third of the way in. The House is finished. Now mm-hmm. It's the Senate's turn, and then they have to agree.
Now, this is something that's done after each census as there are population shifts. Now, did they redraw just the congressional districts or also their own districts?
No, they redrew their own districts, and that was kind of a point of contention this week. House Republicans are upset because nine or up to 10 of their own incumbents could be facing each other. I think the most, the point that they don't like the most is in the new 17th House District in Bowling Green. There's three current Republicans who got mashed into that district. So you're talking about at least two Republican incumbents that won't be coming back to the legislature. They've done it in other areas, and Republicans were really upset about that. They had a big floor fight last night. A lot of talk about court and suing and about the Constitution. But in the end, the Democrats won out. They control that chamber.
It's also almost every session, it seems like we talk about the methamphetamine problem in Kentucky, and there's another effort to have one of the main ingredients in meth, pseudoephedrine, more tightly regulated.
Right. Yeah. The House and the Senate Judiciary Committees heard their first committee meetings on this issue, and they had people from Oklahoma and Mississippi, two other states that have really been trailblazers when it comes to regulating pseudoephedrine. They had directors of those states' Bureau of Narcotics come in and basically testify. And their main point was is that if you want to eliminate the meth problem, if you want to eliminate meth labs, make pseudoephedrine by prescription only. Obviously, there's a lot of groups who don't like that. The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, a lot of, small government and citizens groups, because they say, don't punish us, punish the criminals. There is a compromise bill out there that would restrict pseudoephedrine by prescription only to people who have meth convictions only. And that's a bill that's being pushed out there as well. That may get a little traction in the House. It's not going to get a lot of traction in the Senate.
Pseudoephedrine, an ingredient, I guess we should say, in many, many cold medicines that are mm-hmm. now bought over-the-counter, although I tried to buy some the other day and they had to check my license and all that sort of thing.
Right.
But it's found in a lot of medications.
Right, yeah, and that's the reforms that Kentucky, you just mentioned a reform that Kentucky already has. When you buy pseudoephedrine, you have to go to the counter. You know, someone has to look at you. They have to look at your license. They put that information in there immediately into the meth check registry, which is an instant reporting process. And there's no doubt that that system is working. What the compromise bill wants to do is tighten that system up a little bit, and so that, people don't come in, and it would crack down on what they call smurfing, which is where people pay other people like $50 to go in and buy a case of Sudafed, hand it off, and then they go make the meth. But that, obviously that would track those people. You would catch the smurfers, then you would lead them back to the drug makers, and everything else is what people of the compromise bill say. Now, people who want prescription only, a lot of law enforcement say, let's be done with it. Let's require prescription only, and then we don't have to worry about it.
This is State of the News on WFPL, and we're talking with Kenny Colston, the Frankfort Bureau Chief for Kentucky Public Radio. And we welcome your questions or comments, 502-814-TALK. That's 814-8255. You can reach us toll-free, 877-814-TALK, 877-814-8255. Well, Kenny, Governor Beshear in his inauguration said he was going to push for a constitutional amendment that would expand, or that would ask voters if they want expanded gaming in Kentucky. Where do we stand on that process at this point?
The governor said that he is still working on his bill. He was, I guess the way he described it was, is he was a little surprised at some of the help he's getting. I think specifically that's from a few Republicans in the state Senate, most importantly, State Senator Damon Thayer of Georgetown. And I think that, you know, he was a little surprised at how many people are coming to support this initiative. I think he thought that he was going to have to use his 20-point victory in this election and kind of ram that constitutional amendment through. So he's trying to work out language. He's trying to find out what will pass both chambers and the General Assembly. But he did say we won't have to wait until February to see what that bill looks like. So that's kind of the deadline. If February 1st and we haven't seen the gambling bill yet, that's going to raise a lot of questions. But we should see it this week, upcoming week, next week, should be soon.
Do we know, has he specified whether he wants to allow casino gambling just at horse tracks, or would there be other facilities?
Well, Senator Thayer said that when he talked to the governor that the number 9 was mentioned. And obviously there, I believe, are 8 racetracks here in mm-hmm. Kentucky that would get casinos, you know, your Turfway Parks, your Churchill Downs here in Louisville, and stuff like that. There's this, you know, 9th one out there that's kind of free floating. And a lot of people are, you know, kind of arguing over where that should be, whether 9 is, you know, too many. Will that draw out, you know, opposition? Because then that gives, you know, opponents to say, well, they could put a casino in your backyard. There's that one free floating one. So obviously that number will probably shrink a little bit. Thayer said he wasn't in favor of that. But you have to think that some casinos will have to be at racetracks. And it would be a surprise if Churchill Downs here in Louisville did not get one.
You also reported this week on a proposal that would allow for advertising on school buses.
Yes, this is a proposal that came up last session that made it out of the House but kind of just died quietly in the Senate. And what they want to do is be able to put advertising on school buses. But there are restrictions, no alcohol, no tobacco. There's an amendment that says you can't have anything that deals with sexual orientation on there.
Mm-hmm.
So lawmakers passed that out of committee once again this week. It is posted in the orders of the day for Monday for the full House. I expect it to pass the House. We'll have to see what happens in the Senate. But basically, it would not change the front of a school bus or the back of a school bus. You would have ads basically between the wheels on the side. And, you know, proponents of the legislation say it could raise up to $5,000 to $10,000 profit per bus. And I think they said in Jefferson County with 900 buses, that's $4.5 million. Obviously, with school funding looking to probably getting cut in this year's budget, any way to gain revenue, obviously, is something that they want to look at, and we'll have to see where it goes.
Let's go to the phone. Suzanne is on the line. We were talking about the pseudoephedrine bill and the meth bill. Suzanne has a comment. Suzanne, welcome to State of the News.
Thank you.
What's on your
My
mind?
My comment or question is, I don't see the point in making pseudoephedrine by prescription only, thinking that that would solve the problem. Since hydrocodone, hydromorphone, oxycodone, all those are prescription only, and we have a huge problem with those.
Well, I guess pseudoephedrine could end up, you know, on the black market.
Yeah, and that's a point that, you know, proponents of this compromise make. Don't make it a prescription. Kentucky's prescription problem is incredibly difficult mm-hmm. already. That's why I think you'll see the pseudoephedrine issue wrapped into bills that tackle that, the pain clinics and the pain pill mills, and that go after doctors who prescribe that. I think in order to get the pseudoephedrine under control, you have to do both. And I think legislators really want to do both. They just haven't brought up the pain pill clinic
right.
bill yet, but they're going to. But that's a valid criticism of what some people say.
Suzanne, thanks for your call. Before we let you go, Kenny, there's been a lot of talk this week about the Agriculture Department. There's a new Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner. who was the only Republican to win election to constitutional office in the most recent election, and he has called for an audit of the previous administration.
Yeah, things are not really looking well in the Agriculture Department. We knew that without going Agriculture Commissioner Richie Farmer. New Commissioner James Comer has called for an audit. He's enlisted the help of a Democrat, Adam Edelin, who's the new auditor, and they're going to be looking at everything in the office. It's kind of a chance for Comer to have a clean slate. We all know the news stories about Richie Farmer and the hiring scandals, what he paid for, what he didn't pay for. And Comer wants to do a clean slate. There's going to be a lot of distancing between Comer and Farmer and those administrations, even at the Republican Party level. And then today we find out that there's some $500,000 in missing equipment, computers, printers, trucks. So Comer's basically going to just air out all the dirty laundry. Let's get it out here. Let's move on.
Richie Farmer, also a Republican like Comer, so this has got to be politically uncomfortable, I would think.
Yeah, it's probably pretty uncomfortable, but you have to think, when you're that damaged as a political figure, your party has to separate from you a little bit, and Comer's just happened to do it a lot because there's a lot left over. So I'm sure it's not great for a Republican to basically air out this dirty laundry against another Republican, but if Comer has any hopes of being reelected or another higher office, he has to do it. He doesn't want to be dragged down by this.
All right. Kenny Colston, Kentucky Public Radio, Frankfort Bureau Chief, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.